got a question for you. When you entered this building today, did you all of a sudden feel a great emotional blessing come over you? That you have been blessed beyond measure? I seriously doubt it. Why? Being here is who and what we do and are. Children of God, enjoying one of the greatest blessings of mankind before the rest of the world receives it. The same promised blessing after the return of Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit. Let's find out about what I'm talking about. Please turn to Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. I'll read this in my notes. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In just a few days, a majority of the so-called Christian world will be observing or celebrating what is called Christmas. Only one of the days, along with Easter, Halloween, Valentine's Day, and a multitude of other days, multitude of other pagan-steeped days that have been substituted for the real, true holy days that God instituted, that this world's form of Christianity has used for now to replace the true days that God ordained to be observed by his people, which we'll read about a little bit later in Leviticus 23. We have been blessed with the true knowledge from God of the days which he, through his Son Jesus Christ, revealed to his people concerning how we are to worship him in spirit. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why was it given? So that the man of God may be equipped, or woman of God, may be equipped for every good work. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And part of that good work includes what days we worship God and how we worship him. These days are spelled out for us in God's word. We are told God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never changes, nor does his laws or words change, in Matthew 5:18. He's very serious about what we do with his instructions that he gives us. Revelation 22:18 tells us, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. If anyone takes away from the words that are in this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in his book." This is serious business. You ask why? How? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 7 through 10. Beginning in verse 7, "You shall have no other gods before me." Period. It should be able to stop right there, but it doesn't. "You shall not have other gods before me." Period. Continuing in verse 8, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, and the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." Let's do that again. "For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me," in other words, hate following my instructions, hate my rules, my commandments. Now, verse 10, "but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." I believe we all want to be loved by God, don't we? We need to be loved doing what he asks us to do. We are not to be worshiping fat men in red velvet suits. Fake beards. This one's not fake, by the way. Colored eggs, rabbits, cupids with arrows, or cut-out hearts, or pumpkins. All these things that are being worshipped are just exactly what God has instructed us not to do. Not to be worshipping carved things or anything that's been created. These are worshipping things that have been created, not the one who created them. This is like if we go up to someone and told them, we love them. They turn right around and spit in our face. That's what we're doing with God. Would we be as merciful as our God and Heavenly Father in heaven? I don't think so. Yet he is willing to forgive us and still offer all mankind forgiveness upon repentance. He has put a plan in place to show us the way to salvation for mankind through his holy days that he had ordained for us to observe. He has a great purpose for all of us, for our future outlined in the holy days that he's ordained for us to observe. Let's take a look at that great plan that God has put in the place for us. And he revealed it to us through his word in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations or sacred assemblies. These are my feasts. I will take the next few minutes that I have remaining to give you a brief overview. It's not very exhaustive, but give you a brief overview of God's commanded days of which we are to observe and what they represent. Excuse me. First day we come to is today, the Sabbath, continuing verse 3. The first holy day of time mentioned is the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath day of the Lord in all your dwellings. Verse 4 says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. First of all, we come to the Passover in verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. This introduces the Passover when the ancient Israelites were told by God to kill a lamb and place his blood on the doorposts of their dwelling. So when the death angel came to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, it would pass over the homes of the Israelites. The lamb represented Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the New Testament for all man's sins. There are copies of cross-reference copies back on the library table if you'd like them afterwards. Reference between the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament showing these commanded holy days were practiced in Christ's time and shall still be observed today. So that for your convenience, they're on the table back there. There should be enough for everybody to have a copy. Next, we come to the unleavened bread, days of unleavened bread, verses 6 through 8. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation as well. You shall do no customary work on it. Then we come to the Feast of Pentecost, which representing God giving his Holy Spirit. Verses 15 through 22, and I'm only going to read verses 15 and 16 at this time. It says, verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the wave sheaf offering, mentioned in verses 10, 14, you can go back on at your leisure and read those verses. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Then we come to the Feast of Trumpets, verses 23 through 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. The Feast of Trumpets also represents the time when Jesus Christ will return at the last trumpet. You have the Day of Atonement, verses 26 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, for all of you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that day, that same day, shall be cut off from his people. Verse 30, any person who does any work on that same day, that person will be destroyed from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever through your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening time, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath, as the Sabbath start at the evening of the day before. So, then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, verses 33 through 43. I'm only going to read a couple of verses here. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer offer made by fire to the Lord. The eighth day, or the last great day, beginning in the middle of verse 36, on that day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And let's skip down to verse 39, if you would, please. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast to the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. Though this has not been an exhaustive coverage of the holy days God has commanded ordained, I hope it will pique your interest in God's word and true days God has commanded us to observe, not some phony made-up days flying in the face of God to deny him. For a more thorough study of God's plan, at this time I'd like to suggest that you'd read suggest if you have not read or have not heard of God's Holy Day Plan, a promise of hope for all mankind, or holidays or holy days, doesn't matter which days we observed. You can pick one of those up at the table. If we don't have enough, maybe we can get some ordered in. So, or you can download them on your computer or request a copy from the home office. Again, I ask you, do you feel blessed beyond measure? You should, and I should, not just when we come together here, but especially all the times when we think about the awesomeness of the power of God's Holy Spirit, working in each one of us with the knowledge of his words written for our benefit, for the truth that he has allowed us to be entrusted with, that the rest of humanity, with all of its knowledge, is totally oblivious to.